what do you do in a place like Syria? I mean, at least in Iraq, there now seems to be kind of an operating coalition against ISIS. But I think the problem, and I personally feel that militarily, ISIS is going to be pretty much destroyed in the near future. But ISIS is not just a military, you know, it's not a guerrilla group anymore. It's an idea. And as I was talking about, you know, these young men, you know, you have millions and millions of young men throughout the Middle East with no economic futures, who are not necessarily religious or even political in any way. But also what you have throughout the region is a kind of a built-in resentment against the West. So that whole breeding ground is just going to continue on, and I don't see how you deactivate that.
Well, we want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Any word to the wise on how to read this entire issue, which also has a virtual reality tour of the
right.
retaking of Fallujah with Iraqi soldiers?
Right. You know, I don't know. It's hard for me to say because it's been my baby for a year and a half now. I don't know how to really to suggest how to treat it. You know, I think like any, it's the story of, you know, six stories are kind of interwoven. And I think to find the stories that I think different stories will resonate with different people and to stay with that.
Well, I want to thank you, Scott Anderson, who has written this remarkable total issue of the New York Times Magazine called Fractured Lands, How the Arab World Came Apart. In print, it occupies the whole issue. That does it for our broadcast. Very special congratulations to Dave Enders and his wife, Monica, their new baby, Sophie Grace. Welcome to the world. Democracy Now! Has some job openings, including senior news video producer. Go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Gina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Trina Ndura, and Andre Lewis, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8:01. Up next is Positively Revolting.
I'm John Schock. We're starting an experiment at KBOO. We're going to pilot a new program called The Beloved Community. We'll address the philosophical and spiritual foundations for nonviolence, activism, political engagement, and peace building. We'll also hear voices who are building the beloved community right here in Portland. On this first show, I speak with New York Times bestselling author Marianne Williamson. We discuss her new book, Tears to Triumph, The Spiritual Path from Suffering to Enlightenment. Greenpeace activist and nonviolence advocate G. Scott Brown will talk about his book, Active Peace, A Mindful Path to a Nonviolent World. And I speak with Jenna Yokoyama, co-host of Pacific Underground, a program on KBOO that highlights the experience of Asian Pacific Islanders. We're building the beloved community this Friday, August 12th at 9 a.m. on 90.7 KBOO.
The aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 9th Annual Beloved Festival, an open-air sacred art and music festival in Tidewater, Oregon, held on August 12th through the 15th. It features a diverse lineup of music, workshops, and presentations across the festival grounds. Beloved will highlight the most cutting-edge electronic music and explore ancient traditions, illustrating the similarities between all of humanity. Again, that's the 9th Annual Beloved Music and Arts Festival, August 12th through the 15th in Tidewater, Oregon. More information can be found online at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And good morning, Cascadia. It is 8:05 in the a.m. You are listening to KBOO, and on KBOO, you are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lynn.
I'm Ani.
And together we are Positively Revolting, and we gather here once again, good listeners, to discuss the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Such a nice-sounding name. But we'll get into why it's a terrible thing later on, right? And we have two wonderful people to discuss it with. Elizabeth Swagger, who is with the Citizens Trade Campaign. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. And Benjamin Garretts. I pronounced it correctly, did I not?
Good. Yeah, that's perfect. Well, thank you to all the listeners.
Okay.
I deeply appreciate how engaged all the KBOO audience is on issues of importance impacting our community.
Right. Well, and he is with the Cascade AIDS Project and the Oregon Free Trade Campaign.
Oh, fair trade,
excuse me. Oh, oops, that was a big one. Fair Trade Campaign.
You're not
this
the
morning.
First.
I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
Nor will I be the last. And we are, so as I said, we are here to discuss the Trans-Pacific Partnership and an action about that, kind of a concert rock against the TPP, which is happening Saturday, August 20th. And Elizabeth, you want to give a few little facts on that, and then we'll delve into the abyss that is the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so we're here to sound the alarm on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's a trade deal that takes power away from our community and our citizens, our elected officials, and puts that power into the hands of multinational corporations. These are the same corporations that were given advisory status, giving them access to the text and them access to negotiators. So they pretty much got to say what they would like to see in this trade deal while the public was left in the dark. And so the Rock Against the TPP concert is a really exciting way for us to bring this urgent issue, which I think has, you know, really become something that we're seeing in mainstream media almost every day, into the public and into popular culture. So it's an exciting time for fair traders in Oregon and around the country. This is part of a national tour. So Rock Against the TPP is happening on Saturday, August 20th. The concert's going to send a strong message that we need our members of Congress in Oregon, Representative Blumenauer and Bonamici, to stand with Oregonians, working families, and our environment by opposing the TPP. So the Rock Against the TPP concert is at Director's Park on Saturday the 20th. And it's going to start off with a teach-in, because it's not just about getting out there and listening to the music and sending this strong message, but we also want to learn why it's important for us to be doing this. So there's going to be a fossil fuels and trade teach-in at PSU at 2:30 to 3:30. And then it'll be followed by an energetic march at 4 to 4:45. There'll be a live theater marching band. There's also going to be some street theater with the TPP Death Star. And people are encouraged to bring their Star Wars gear to join the rebellion against the TPP.
And we know there's plenty of that here in Portland.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then at 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. is the Rock Against the TPP concert, which is at Director's Park. The address is 815 Southwest Park Avenue. And this is where we are going to have our message against the TPP amplified by artists such as Golden Globe nominee actress Evangeline Lilly. The incredible political comedian Harry Kondabolu. I don't know if you've caught his show before, but
he's pretty fantastic.
He really is. And then we're going to have bands like Anti-Flag, you know, a band that has been around promoting human rights, trying to stop, the wars, unfair wars. A really important band for the progressive movement. Also, Chumbawamba.
Get out,
yeah. Danbert.
Danbert. Oh, just Danbert.
Danbert's going to be there.
Who, by the way?
That was our theme song.
Yes. Donated by Chumbawamba.
Oh, fantastic. Well, what a great opening.
Well, by Danbert, anyway. You wouldn't have to call a meeting.
Danbert,
so.
We love you. Wherever you are, if you are listening, we love you, Danbert.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's really going to be an exciting celebration of this very, very strong movement, which... Honestly, we need more people. We need more people there. And this is a way to pull them in and to make that strong movement even stronger. So just a little bit more on it. This is a free concert. It's open to the public. Again, it's August 20th at Director's Park at 5 o'clock. And it's all ages, wheelchair accessible. But people must RSVP for their free ticket online. And they can do that by going to www.rockagainstthetpp.org. And clicking on the Portland stop under the tour schedule table. So again, that's www.rockagainstthetpp.org. Go there to get your free tickets. And the concert will be followed by a teach-in on Sunday for all of the folks that want to get the basics of what the TPP is, the 101. So, the hope is that we bring in some new folks, grow our movement, get them educated, and get them mobilized.
So what is the so we know Merkley is not for this. Senator Merkley.
That's correct.
Is and Wyden, of course, is. He's been very hard to budge. Bonamici, for. Blumenauer, for or again.
Neither Blumenauer nor Bonamici have stated where they are at on the TPP. They're saying they're undecided. And so it is our job to push them from undecided to at least opposing parts of the TPP. Congressman Blumenauer, as a climate champion, this trade deal is a disaster for anyone who wants to see climate change addressed.
Why is that?
It gives corporations the power to sue governments for environmental protections that we have in place. So it's under this chapter on ISDS. And basically what it means is that... for a company that sees, a protection to for clean air as a threat to their ability to make future profits, then they can use this trade deal to bring it to an international tribunal of three lawyers who rotate as judges. So one day they're defending a corporation, and the next day they're a judge. And if that tribunal decides that this local law protecting the environment is a threat to the corporation's profits, then they can sue the government for uncountable numbers of dollars. And if the government doesn't want to be sued over and over and over again, because who can afford that, then they need to overturn that law. And so at its very core...
Isn't that happening right now with the Trans-Canada pipeline that that President Obama... I don't know if he vetoed that exactly, but it was... suppressed, and isn't there a tribunal suing the United States government right now?
I'm so glad you bring that up, Lynn, because that is really such a perfect example of what these trade deals do. So that was under a much smaller deal, the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. And
it's a shame that free means has such a heinous meaning in all these trade agreements.
Yes, it's good for the concert. It's not good for trade.
Right. free for corporations to trample democracy is how I always sort of subtext that.
That's a good way of putting it, Annie. Yeah, but basically, this company, the TransCanada, was working with the government to try and get the Keystone XL pipeline put in place. And when Obama refused to allow that to move forward, they used NAFTA, this free trade agreement, in order to sue the U.S. government for what they're asking for, $15 billion. $15 billion of, keep in mind, taxpayer dollars. In order to challenge our laws, and if that's successful.
Well, and to make up for what profits they might have.
Exactly. Future profits.
Future profits, I believe. And who Bechtel did that in Bolivia. They didn't want them with water rights. They tried to sue the Bolivian government. I believe it was Bolivia. It was... I pretty much think it was Bolivia. I'm just trying to wrap through my brain, but I don't need to do that on radio. But because they did not want them stealing their water.
Yeah.
So they wanted to sue them for the profits that they wanted to make. It's just the most childish, insane thing. And as I was saying, it's like it kind of, this matters to me more than who's president, because this will, if the Trans-Pacific Partnership goes through, that will pretty much be the end of government as we know it. I know some people go, that's great, but not. It will
not
be
like
a,
this.
Will be an oligarchy for sure.
I think that's a really important point, and I think it highlights essentially the protectionism that is at place with the current trend on how free trade agreements have been negotiated in the past and how they've been negotiated with the TPP. So the only protectionism that is coming from these trade deals is locking in monopoly protections for multinational corporations to maximize their profits, regardless the cost to people and our planet. Senator Wyden, Representative Bonamici, Representative Blumenauer, when they talk about trade, they'll often say that Oregon is a very trade-dependent economy, which we are, and they often talk about how these trade deals are going to be great for Oregon jobs. I think all of us can agree trade deals that uplift workers in the state of Oregon are fantastic. The TPP is anything but, and what they're saying, I guess, in the public forums about how this is going to be fantastic for Oregon jobs, the truth is in stark contrast to those comments. It's seen by a recent release of the International Trade Commission report. It's analysts that evaluate trade deals to project out what the outcome is going to be if a trade deal is passed through. When they analyzed NAFTA over 20 years ago, they gave a very rosy projection that NAFTA was going to be great for American workers. It was going to be great for workers in Canada and in Mexico. And certainly we've seen that the outcomes of that. It's interesting that with the TPP, they released their report and they showed that the TPP would have no positive impact on the U.S. economy and would in fact undermine multiple sectors of the U.S. economy, multiple sectors of the economy here in the state of Oregon. One of the only industries here in Oregon that the ITC projects would benefit from the TPP would be oil and liquefied natural gas. So,
Kel Surprise.
Yeah, when Senator Wyden or our members of Congress talk about how this is going to be a jobs creator, the ITC report, which is usually, it's widely respected on both sides of the political aisle. And the ITC says the complete opposite, that it's going to actually undermine workers here in the state of Oregon and across our country.
I know. I mean, I heard Wyden say, I'll protect Oregon in all of this. It's like,
we're not sure how.
You are divine, aren't you?
Well, I mean, especially since I think by the very nature of these international trade agreements, our elected officials, once these things are in place, have very limited power, if not no power to actually protect the people of the nations, you know, the areas that they are elected to serve, right? Because again, the idea is that it removes local democratic power to an international unelected tribunal to decide the fate of nations, basically. That's frightening. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there that it's 20 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is your community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are positively revolting. We hope you are too. Please do give us a call, 503-231-8187. You too can jump on in this conversation this morning, talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, talking about one of the activities to draw attention to that coming up in just a week, and that's Rock Against the TPP. We invite your call. You can also follow along Positively Revolting throughout the week on Facebook. You can find our fan page there, Positively Revolting. You can also follow in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. And I hear that Mitch has something to chime in with. Good morning, Mitch.
This is such a treat because I have been waiting through a year and a half of the presidential election season for some broadcast media to actually deepen our understanding of what this is that both parties' candidates at the time, Sanders and Trump, were both against these trade deals, and I just didn't see the election season, because of the lack of knowledge or interest in the journalists, deepening the discussion. I very much appreciated Bernie Sanders taking the positions he took, but he didn't do much more than Donald Trump in terms of explaining to most Americans who haven't gotten any reporting on what these trade deals are, what is at stake here. So I thank you for doing this. But I did want to, what prompted me to call was when the woman,
Elizabeth
spoke earlier about giving us the rundown of our own representatives, Blumenauer or Bonamici, not yet committing to TPP. And that's only partially true in the sense that both committed to something that is associated with TPP, which is Trade Promotion Authority, which is the same thing that your gentleman guest has talked
about. That's Benjamin.
Yes, which is the surrendering of state sovereignty. Because what Trade Promotion Authority did when it went up for vote was give not only President Obama, but future presidents the right to not use our elected representatives to deliberate future trade agreements. And so by assenting to Trade Promotion Authority, all of our elected representatives that voted for this, and the shocking thing that I was surprised, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and usually man bites dog stories in the media will get coverage. But in the case of both the GOP and their extremist wing, the Tea Party, supporting an earlier President Obama trade deal with Korea, the CORUS FTA in 2012, overwhelmingly, all we hear about is the obstructionist GOP and Tea Party. But if you look at the roll call in Congress, they all voted for it, and among the Democrats, only the Wyden and the Blue Dog Democrats voted to support President Obama's 2012 CORUS FTA. And I would encourage your listeners to please go online and educate themselves, because we have a track record. We now have 3 years of a deal that President Obama himself signed with presidential candidate Clinton's overwhelming support. And Ron Wyden voted for it. Mm-hmm. Earl Blumenauer voted for it. Suzanne Bonamici wasn't in office long enough to vote for the 2012 CORUS FTA, but she did come on and support the TPA afterwards, which just would have given future presidents the right to negotiate deals like CORUS. But the place to go to look, because no media is even mentioning CORUS, didn't come up once in the presidential debates vis-a-vis. Everybody goes back to NAFTA. And NAFTA is understood, but NAFTA, it makes people think this is an old record. What we don't get is what this administration has already done. And the scoreboard for it is on a not-for-profit, bipartisan organization called Public Citizen. And if you go online, they have an online web magazine called Common Dreams. And just look for the third anniversary, unhappy third anniversary of Chorus FTA. If you type that into a search engine, it'll take you to Common Dreams. And look at the numbers. That is where Ron Wyden could not defend any position he has taken because he voted for Chorus FTA. So if we, by some chance, drag him in front of a microphone to address these issues, we will have to know what to ask him, and we'll have to ask him why he voted for Chorus FTA in 2012 and what he thinks of it now in terms of being good for Oregon's economy.
Well, thanks,
all right, Mitch.
Mitch,
thanks very much for your call.
Thank you. Keep doing it.
All right.
The Oregon Free Trade Campaign has a great website, too. Do they not? I've seen it.
Yes, we definitely do. And Oregon Fair Trade.
I keep doing this.
I know
so
free
sorry.
Sounds really good.
No,
I mean,
yes.
It isn't a. It's
an
a great
example.
Sales
Let me be
pitch
an example of what not to.
Yeah, it's sort of like right to work. You know, it sounds great, but boy, the outcome not so much.
No.
But yeah, we do have a great website. You can just type in Oregon Fair Trade Campaign on a Google search, and it'll bring you right to our website. And we keep up to date information on where things are at currently with the TPP. We also provide information about the outcomes of previous trade deals, like the caller, and thank you, Mitch, for phoning in. I mean, gosh, you highlighted a number of incredible points, and I'm very optimistic, I guess, with how we have elevated the conversation about trade and who benefits from trade deals and who loses to the heights of the presidential campaign. I don't think that happened by coincidence. I think it was the hard work of, like, the caller who phoned in, being engaged on this issue, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people all across the globe asking some really poignant, important questions about has the track record of free trade agreements benefited people, or has it benefited wealthy special interests at the expense of people and our planet? I would encourage everybody to continue to ask those questions. And big business, they are going to push really hard in the lame duck session of Congress immediately following the presidential election to get the TPP rammed through. They're going to be lining the coffers of political campaigns, making all sorts of deals, and pressuring our members of Congress to pass the TPP. We need people to mobilize, just like Elizabeth said. We have great activists. We need to build our movement, and we need to build it right now, because if the TPP goes into effect, the sad news is it's going to be really challenging for even the next president, whether it's Clinton, it's maybe not the other way around, we shall see. But regardless of who the next president is, if the TPP goes into effect during the lame duck session, we are going to be in for a significant uphill battle with our efforts to usher in a new era of trade policy that uplifts workers in all the countries that sign on to trade deals, that protects our environment, and that honors our democracy.
I just want to emphasize that point, Benjamin, that you're talking about, you know, looking at trade deals that uplift workers around the globe, which, you know, is really quite the opposite of what the free trade deals do. And that is really create a system of a race to the bottom, you know, because if it can be done more cheaply, you know, regardless of what it costs the workers or the environment, then by God, that's what the corporations are pretty much set to do. I mean, that's one could say why they exist in this, you know, capitalist economy.
Well, you got to get that CEO pay from somewhere.
Somewhere. And so, excuse me. So when, you know, there's a couple ways to look at it. It's, you know, there's the old phrase that I've always loved, that is, our resistance must be as international or as transnational as their capital. And that is, I think, a really good thing to focus on as we look at how this affects not only people here in the U.S., but in the other 10 nations that the TPP is pulling in. It's an 11-nation agreement, is that right? Let's go ahead and talk to Harvey. Good morning, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hi there. A great show today. Well, my thinking is that the Trans-Pacific Partnership will offshore more jobs and factories to the cheapest labor source, just like NAFTA and all the other things. And this will create more corporate slaves for the prisons for profit, America's answer to third world labor. For the for-profit companies run more than 150 prisons, jails, and detention centers across the U.S., overseeing approximately 8% of the total prison population. And not long ago, several states took food stamps away from, quote, single able-bodied individuals with no dependents. When people are hungry, they will turn to crimes such as theft, prostitution, violent crimes, and drug dealing to make money for food. And there's also new debtors' prisons. When they offshore all the jobs to the lowest income, including robotics are coming in fast, then the people will end up in prisons for profit working. It's basically corporations supplying labor, cheap labor, to other corporations. So the Trans-Pacific Partnership will accelerate the prison-for-profit inmate situation.
All right, Harvey, thank you very much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
503-231-8187, the number to call. Oopsie doodles. 503-231-8187, the number to call if you would like to join us on the air as well. Also, again, a reminder that you can follow along on Facebook, Positively Revolting, or in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. Let's go ahead and talk to Joe, shall we? Mm-hmm. Good morning, Joe. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for all the good work you guys do. I just thought of a few slogans you guys could put on those signs and placards that you might be carrying at that public function, which is on Saturday, August the 20th at Director's Park. And when is the time again?
The concert's at 5 o'clock.
What time does the whole thing start and finish, roughly?
Well, you know, there's several parts to this. It starts with a fossil fuels and trade teach-in at PSU at 2:30, and then a march from PSU to the Rock Against the TPP concert at Director's Park. The march starts at 4 o'clock. The concert at Director's Park is 5 to 10 p.m., and that's, again, a free concert, but you must get your tickets. So to do that, go to www.rockagainstthetpp.org. And then the following day, Sunday, August 21st, there will be a teach-in at First Unitarian Church.
Okay, great. Hey, if we don't have internet, like 46% of households out here do not have, according to a news story I saw 2 years ago on the public television, can I just buy it at the door when I get down there?
Well, that is an excellent question. The best thing for you to do is to call Benjamin's organization, Oregon Fair Trade Campaign, and ask them to reserve a ticket for you. Thank you so much for asking that question. In just a moment.
Wait, you got a number?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for asking that question, and we're going to pull up the number in just a moment. But for those of you who can go online and reserve your ticket, I'm going to repeat the address, www.rockagainstthetpp.org.
Hey, and I've got some good ideas for some slogans for the signs that a lot of people might be carrying. TPP, instead of Trans-Pacific Partnership, it should stand for terrible public policy, or maybe terrifying public policy.
Either of those would work, yeah.
It sounds a lot like toilet paper, you know.
I always thought it did too.
I like those actions that happen, you know, where there's the toilet paper roll being waved around. And
we'll have that in the march.
The Death Star is pretty good too.
Written portion, I guess there's just reams and volumes of this of paper being used, and you can't even, most of our Congress critters couldn't even, they could look at it, but they couldn't write anything down. They couldn't record it in any way, and they were let into a little room where they could look at this Trans-Pacific Partnership, actual paperwork.
Joe, it's public now, but it's indecipherable.
Now, that makes sense.
Yeah, unless you are an attorney who specializes in trade agreements, I would imagine.
The one other slogan I had was terrorizing poor people, because that's basically what this is going to boil down to.
I think that's a very accurate analogy of what the TPP would do and what we've seen with previous free trade agreements. And the phone number for Oregon Fair Trade Campaign is 503-736-9777.
9777.
Just say it one more time, Benjamin.
Oh, 503-736-9777. And if people would like, if they have cell phones as well, there is the option of texting to get the free ticket for the concert on the 20th. A person can text NO TPP 4 to 503-543-1452. So that's NO TPP, the number 4, to 503-543-1452.
Okay, I got that. The last and most irreverent one I have is turds publicly polluting, because that's what these people are.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things, they are just...
All right, hey, Joe, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call.
Wipe and flush the TPP.
There you go. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. And we are here discussing the TPP. We have Benjamin Garretts and we have Elizabeth Swager. And we are taking your calls about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as it is known, another blow to democracy, as I see it. And we are taking your calls. Yes, 503-231-8187. So once again, many people are coming together to say no to the TPP. It's a bad deal, bad for people, bad for the earth, really just a killer for democracy. And a lot of these folks are coalescing into this nationwide tour that is Rock Against the TPP. So again, Directors Park next Saturday, the 20th. I got to say, Directors Park has a little nostalgic niche in my heart, because that's where we held general assemblies for about, half a year or more during the Occupy days. So that was... It's a great spot in the middle of downtown Portland for people to come together and exercise our assemblage, and in this case, have some entertainment while we're at it. So again, who's going to be there?
So we're going to have our message out there to stop the TPP by well-known artists such as Golden Globe nominee actress Evangeline Lilly, who is very, very passionate about stopping the TPP. She's has amazing analysis. We're also going to be hearing from political comedian, my personal favorite comedian, Hari Kondabolu. We'll also hear from some bands that are touring the entire country to sound the alarm against the TPP, like Anti-Flag, the lead singer from Chumbawamba.
Dan Burt.
Thank you.
No Bacon?
Thank you. We'll also hear from Mantana.
They have bacon now. I don't know. At the time.
No. We'll hear from Mantana and Sahasan and many, many more very talented artists, as well as local speakers who are going to represent everything from small farmers in Oregon, workers, environmental justice leaders, LGBTQ. We'll hear from people who recognize that the TPP disproportionately affects and hurts people of color. So please do come out. These are our leaders in our community. We need you to be a leader in our community fighting the TPP as well. Please show up and help us build this movement.
It's always good to have fun with your action. And I like that idea of a concert coming through. So it's been, so how long have we been fighting this now?
I'm the TPP specifically has been on the table
For some time. And it's, do you feel like every time something like this comes up, the coalition gets bigger and bigger? Or is it starting from ground zero every time? I mean,
So you're talking about like just when international, when horrible international trade deals rear their ugly heads?
Yes.
Is there ever more increasing resistance?
Okay.
So I would say, you know, we started this fight about 7 years ago on the TPP. And at that time, people did not know anything about the TPP.
Well, it was, as Benjamin said, it was kept very secret.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the people who created the TPP wanted to keep it that way and were pretty successful, honestly, in doing it. We have really turned that around in the past year and a half, I would say. It wasn't, it was all the work that we did before that year and a half that led us to that. But it was, you know, things like this, going out and, you know, people who care about it, putting it on their community radio show. It was people going to, you know, their unions and saying, hey, this is going to be a devastation for workers. We got to do something about it. It was people speaking about it in their environmental organizations, at their churches, around their kitchen table. And that's what has grown the movement to the point where we have both presidential elects speaking out against the TPP at almost every campaign stop. We have what we saw at the DNC, which was just incredible, where Bernie Sanders supporters were just, you know, dominating the entire event with getting the word out about the TPP, you know, and it was all of the work that we did, you know, having those conversations where we had to explain what this strange, very, you know, hard to wrap your head around trade deal was, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, super wonky. But breaking it down so that people understand what this is and that it affects their everyday lives. And you know, you don't have to talk to people in rural Oregon about what it bad trade deals mean, because they've seen.
They know.
Yeah, they've seen how a factory closure affects the entire community, and those trade-related layoffs go beyond just the family. If the government doesn't have the revenue that they need, that means more layoffs for government employees. It means shutting down libraries, not having the resources you need for schools, right, and much more.
Right. The effects are huge. I mean, and go into all segments, really, of our society. We've talked about the bad news for workers. We've talked very briefly. We could get into hours of discussion about bad news for workers and bad news for the environment. But one thing we haven't touched on is one thing that the TPP stands to do to healthcare and to pharmaceuticals. And this is something I became aware of when listening to KABU last year, and possibly even you, Benjamin. I might have been listening to you talk about this. The TPP has provisions that you can explain it better, and I should just turn it over to you. But that basically wipe out the ability to have cheap generic drugs, right? That pharmaceutical companies, big pharma, will advance their rights to maintain their maximum profits over, well, people's lives.
Yeah, thank you for raising this important point. It's something that's very personal for me as somebody living with HIV and dependent upon medications for my survival and livelihood. It highlights, I guess, just what is at stake with these trade agreements. One wouldn't think of healthcare as being connected to trade. The unfortunate reality is the track record thus far and what is going to happen with the TPP, with the text being finalized, is Big Pharma has been successful with lobbying our members of Congress with negotiating terms into the TPP, which would extend out their monopoly protections on their patents, which you're exactly right. What the effect of that would be is it would delay generic medications from reaching people in need. People usually on lower incomes who can't afford the price, the outrageous prices that the pharmaceutical industry is charging. The expense would be great to public health. Millions of lives are literally at stake with this trade agreement. I think the question that perhaps our listeners, everybody can ask themselves is the U.S. approach to healthcare working to ensure that we have a healthy, thriving workforce that's productive, that can contribute to our society? And if the answer is yes, then it may be, I guess, worthwhile to support the terms within the TPP that have been pushed by Big Pharma. If the answer is no, then essentially what the TPP is pushing the U.S. approach with pharmaceuticals onto these 11 other countries and strangling, putting a kibosh, I guess, a blockade on those countries being able to decide for their own how they're going to approach patents, how they're going to be able to provide the medications that their citizens need. The investor-state dispute settlement clause has a huge impact on access to medicines.
Investor-state dispute settlement clause.
Yeah.
That's just got, it rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yes, you the corporate kind of, talkocracy.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
yeah, and that's the clause that Elizabeth spoke to, and it was mentioned with the KXL pipeline in Canada suing the United States. So it's been used a number of times by big pharmaceutical companies, primarily backed by representatives of the U.S. government, using this investor state dispute settlement to sue other countries because those countries have decided that they want to be able to decide for their own what they're going to do with their health care and how they're going to provide access to medications. There's an example of Eli Lilly suing Canada's Medicare system, publicly funded health care, for $500 million because Eli Lilly felt that the Canadians' approach to healthcare was blocking their ability to maximize their profits.
Maximizing profits over lives.
They're God-given profit rights.
Rights.
Yes,
yes. Yeah, I've heard about those. Gosh, we have about 10 minutes left in the show. Let's go ahead and talk to Lee. Good morning, Lee. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I live down the valley near Sublimity, and Kurt Schrader is my congressman, and I have repeatedly tried to call his office to try and find out his position on this and have been given the runaround. And I don't know how it's possible to get that information out of him, but he's the leader of the Blue Dog Democrats in Washington, in the House, and has supported fast-tracking, and I don't know what to do to light a fire under him to say no.
All right. Thanks very much, Lee. Anyone have any ideas?
Thanks.
Be as irritating as you can. Be that grain of sand in the oyster. Yeah.
I think your activism continuing to pressure him until he does respond, I greatly appreciate your efforts out there. And I know how much of an uphill battle it is with somebody like Kurt Schrader.
All right. Thanks very much. You know, we've seen interesting movement in this national election year. And we are looking at two candidates right now who from the main two parties that are both saying they're against it. Clinton has come out with very strong language, her strongest language yet, against the TPP. This seems to be somewhat of a shift. And yet we still have the lame duck session to go through. We still have Obama able to sign anything before January, right? So what's the thought? I mean, you know, to me, it's like sort of the perfect setup. You got two folks, genuinely or disingenuously, I don't know. I'm not really going to speculate too much on the air, though catch me afterwards, and I might, and you know, that are coming out against this thing. But gosh, it just might happen anyway, and then they'll just have to live with the consequences. Gee golly willikers, fait accompli. Any thoughts?
I'll hand this off to Elizabeth, but before, I just want to mention that I have great admiration for President Obama. Some of our listeners might disagree with me, but the impact that his leadership has had on my personal life, my ability to be married to my husband, the Affordable Care Act, despite all of its faults, and it doesn't go far enough. I do appreciate the leadership that he has provided for our country. I hope in a democracy it's okay to disagree with our president on certain policy items, and I couldn't disagree with him more than on his approach to trade.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Benjamin. It's surprising that the administration is picking this issue to go to bat for, and this is the last thing that Obama will be fighting for.
He sort of kills the Affordable Health Care Act.
It's an interesting how do we say, conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cognitive dissonance, perhaps.
Yeah, and it's particularly surprising with, you know, a lot of the things that we mentioned with the public being so opposed to it and everything that happened at the DNC. And with Hillary Clinton coming out and saying, look, it's written, this is not a good deal, I would not support it, and I do not support a lame duck vote. We had Nancy Pelosi, Leader Pelosi, speaking out against the TPP. So it's interesting timing. And I think that the reason that we're seeing this is because it really would be hard for the next president to make this thing happen. It's kind of, I think the corporations pushing for the TPP are saying it is now or never. Even if, you know, you don't have the votes lined up, we want it to happen.
Full court press. Yeah.
But I think that brings us around to what we can do about it. It's not that likely still that that it'll be introduced if the votes are nowhere near where they need to be.
Because, after all members of Congress are up for election this time.
Exactly. So. And that's why it's so critical to have people listening call into your member of Congress and ask them to stand with workers, stand with Oregon's environment, and oppose the TPP. We have to be getting that message in their ears every single day, and it's got to be thousands of it. So it's very, very important to be getting that message out.
I want to let people know, coming up this morning on KBOO, your very own community radio station, at 9 o'clock, you can hear the pilot program of The Beloved Community as John Shuck speaks with Marianne Williamson, author, lecturer, and activist. Also, C. Scott Brown, activist and author, and Jenna Yokoyama, who is the co-host of KBOO's program Pacific Underground. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia will have headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. It's an action-packed 15 minutes. And at 10:15, Flashpoints is unavailable today, so we'll be hearing Letters to Washington featuring an interview with Paul Pearson, author of the book American Amnesia. At 11 o'clock, Digital Divide is off this month, and we will be hearing instead Facing Climate Change, a documentary about climate change and its effects in the Skagit Valley. Skagit. Skagit. You know, I was born here and I've never actually known how to say that. Okay. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member, you can take care of that embarrassing little problem right now. You can become a KBOO member. You can support independent media so we can continue bringing you these important messages. Just go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And that leaves us with one caller, shall we?
Let's
shall we
go.
Squeeze them in? Good morning, Walter. You're on the air.
Make it short and sweet.
Ah, we have no Walter, there they are. Seeing the timing, it's gone. All right, well, let's go ahead and just give the facts and figures one more time. How do people go rock against the TPP?
Absolutely. So, again, it's August 20th, and we have multiple events that you can participate in to learn more about the dangerous corporate Trans-Pacific Partnership, starting with a teach-in on fossil fuels and how it relates to trade at PSU, Saturday, August 20th from 2:30 to 3:30. That'll be followed by a march from PSU to the Rock Against the TPP concert, starting at 4 o'clock, going until 4:45. That's going to have the live theater marching band and lots of fun props and energy. Then we will have the concert starting at 5 o'clock at Director's Park. Again, Rock Against the TPP concert, free concert. It's all ages, wheelchair accessible, and you will need to RSVP online at www.rockagainstthetpp.org.
All right. And final words. Who really, I mean, we've talked about all, applying pressure to all elected officials. Is there anyone in particular that you can suggest really focusing on?
Personally, I would say if anybody would like to join me in making a phone call to my representative, Representative Earl Blumenauer, he has a long track record of supporting these type of trade agreements. Like the caller who phoned in mentioned, he supported Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority. He needs to be hearing from us right now. And certainly Suzanne Bonamici, for our listeners on the West Side, I would encourage everybody to contact her office. I really appreciate the caller from down the valley who mentioned Kurt Schrader. I think continuing to pressure him and pressuring those three to represent the people and stop this era of, you know, passing these trade deals that only lock in protections to monopolize profits for multinationals.
And thank Senator Merkley, and I would imagine DeFazio is not much for this, for this deal at all. Always thank those folks because
standing up to pressure is hard.
It's very hard, and I'm amazed and pleased at both of them.
Critically important, yeah, to thank our champions too. So I would give them a call and express your appreciation for their representation of the people of Oregon.
And because I believe Merkley is up for election this year. Is he not? No? I can't remember.
Wyden is.
Oh, Wyden is. Well, oh, and yeah. I mean, good luck with him, but yeah. People kind of want it to be easy, like they're calling Amazon for an order or something, but it's often hard to get in touch with them, but that doesn't matter. Just keep doing it. It's okay.
That's right. They're there to be.
It's not instant gratification, folks.
They're there to be in touch
it's
with.
It's a movement.
They are, hypothetically, our representatives. So, Elizabeth, you have something to say.
Yeah, I would just echo Benjamin hit it on the spot with the members of Congress to call. This is a fight that is going to be won in the House. So having those members come out and say they oppose the TPP, or at the very least, stay undecided so that their votes cannot be counted by the administration as a yes vote, is what is going to lead us to victory and make sure that there is no vote, there is no TPP before Congress during lame duck. So it's we have a very important role to play if we can get our members to either say no or just stay quiet. We will win.
All righty. Thank you both so very much for joining us this morning. Elizabeth Swager of the Citizens Trade Campaign and Benjamin Garretts of Cascade Eats Project and the Oregon
Fair
Trade Campaign. And thank you both so much for joining us. I want to remind our listeners, and maybe I just want to tell you afresh, that tomorrow is KBOO's big epic annual used book and record sale. As somebody who has been coordinating its preparatory efforts, I can say this is about the biggest sale we have had in years, possibly a decade. I don't even know. It's phenomenal, the amount of stuff that has been donated. So tomorrow, noon to 7 p.m. at Cider Riot, our new neighbors down at 807 Northeast Cooch. You want to probably come and support your community radio station.
And get some really amazing
thousands
deals.
Of amazing records have been donated by some collectors that have downsized. One of them, one of our retired DJs. Amazing stuff has been donated. So you'll want to be there. 807 Northeast Cooch, KBOO's epic book and record sale. Noon to 7 tomorrow. Be there. God knows I'll be.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Love
you both.
KBOO.
You're welcome.
This was amazing.
Would you be... We'll be right back.